The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart. Radio
X. Hi, I'm Gordon. Welcome to the Evening Show podcast. You've just caught us mid-pizza, me and producer Vin. Vin, you've just dropped a little bit there.
All right, mate. You're hungover. This is a hungover pizza, isn't it?
It is. It's soaking up. The carbohydrates are soaking up my misery as we speak. on this week's episode of the Evening Show podcast, Kings of Leon, Russell Howard and Sir Patrick Stewart. It's been a great week. And all the usual nonsense, classic albums, some Brits gossip. Hope you enjoy it. I'll see you on the other side.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart. Radio
X. This is the Evening Show on Radio X with me, Gordon Smart. I'm absolutely thrilled to say that the finest rock and roll band in the world right now are in the studio, ladies and gentlemen. Kings of Leon, Caleb and Nathan, how are we doing, boys?
Good. Wonderful, how are you?
I feel a wee bit guilty about four people giving you a round of applause, given what you're used to in your life now, you know?
Like our first show in America.
How's it going, gentlemen? It's brilliant to have you back on British soil. How's life?
Amazing. Excited to be able to bring the tour here.
Birmingham Monday night, I saw it got amazing reviews as well, so...
Yeah.
Last time we played Birmingham, there was a decent amount of male nudity, which we were kind of looking forward to on this show. But let's just say they kept it in their pants this time.
I remember that. Was there not a story about a naked bloke that became quite a big thing?
The Birmingham sausage.
That was the Birmingham... I forgot about that. Yeah, that was a massive thing in the end, wasn't it?
He messaged me before the show. He's like, just to let you know that I've lost my bikini figure that I had back then, so I won't be showing any body parts tonight. But you can definitely tell by playing a similar set list each night which cities like gravitate towards this four song, you know, pack right here compared to the city that you played the night before or the one you go to next. But UK crowds have always been absolutely nuts.
So, was that your throat that just...
Did you hear that as well? It wasn't me.
It wasn't me.
I had a heavy night last night, but it wasn't me, I promise. Does it blow your mind, the fact that you're almost 20 years old as a band now, right? Because I talk about this quite a bit on the radio about the idea of time, right? The time continuum, right? We're kind of a similar age in our 30s now. And if your first album was a human being, it'd be 17 now, right? So you think of it as a person. It's quite mad that. But do you feel like you're 20 years in as a band?
Sometimes, yeah. some days it feels like that.
The fact that we're still doing this 17 years in is pretty amazing, considering we absolutely hate each other.
I was going to say, what is life like behind closed doors for you boys now? You know, you're obviously very close.
In a way, I feel like a young band again. I feel like we're really just wanting to do the best that we can do at this point.
Yeah. What is it that gets you out of your bed in the morning, Nathan? Is it writing new music or is it the touring?
It's usually my wife opening the blinds and being like, okay, it's time to get up. Well, no, but we all have, other than Jared, we all have kids now, so... Yeah. The life of a daddy, like, I told my wife the other day, like, she was so jealous of me coming on tour without her because I was like, I'm going to sleep until noon every single day, like, just soak this up.
How do your kids react to the music?
My daughter's a really big fan. She, you know, I'll see her sometime. She has, like, a little iPad. She's only four. It's pretty ridiculous that she has an iPad. But, like, the other day on the airplane on the way over, my wife, like, tapped me and she said, look... And I looked at Dixie's iPad, and she had headphones on, and she was listening to our new album.
Yeah.
She has, like, every cartoon she can watch, and she was listening to our music, so I was, like, very proud.
Brilliant. Indoctrinated early on.
Yeah.
Get them properly brainwashed. Do your kids have any concept of you, Nathan, and what you are and your fame or anything like that?
They're starting to get it now. My daughter's four as well. Like, she's 6 months younger than Dixie. But, yeah, she can definitely tell. She got a book called My Daddy Used to Be a Rock Star. And so the first half is her dad, like, rocking out and all these tattoos and stuff. And the next part is him dropping her off at school. And she's like, my dad is so weird. Like, he has all these markings on his body. None of the other parents have them. Like, and so that book is kind of like, she knows now that we are different. We live a different lifestyle than most people would. But yeah, anytime she hears she knows Kings of Leon. Like, that's Uncle Caleb singing and that's Daddy on the drums and... Someone filling in for Uncle Jared on the bass. But yeah, she's definitely, like, they're at the age now where they're like little sponges where mine has started using four-letter words that I think her mother from New Jersey taught her. Definitely not me.
Yeah. Are you prepared for the difficult questions then? Is that something you've contemplated? What is that? What does that song mean?
Yeah, socks on fire.
It's just socks.
Uncle Caleb's socks caught on fire one night. He was drying them out on the heater.
I think that song is the least of our worries. We have much much bigger things to tackle than Sex on Fire.
Plenty of time for that, though, isn't it?
They won't listen to Taper Jean Girl, ever.
Right, seeing as you mentioned that, gentlemen, I'm going to play Socks on Fire now for all those delicate children listening with their sensitive little ears. This is Socks on Fire by Kings of Leon.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart. Radio X.
There's a beautiful quote that I've heard you mention, Caleb. Music washes away from the soul the dust of everyday life. That's beautiful, right? But how dusty is life at the moment?
I can't really say enough about just how well everything's been going. We've just been having a great time and enjoying it. And, you know, I mean, when you get to this point in your career, things get a lot easier. You know, we have a level of comfort right now that's kind of laughable. And, you know, it's one of those things where you're just doing everything to get up there and play at night. And when you play, you have the greatest time and you get to experience something that's so special. So for me, I mean, I think everything's just going really well. And I think it's going well with everyone else. And, yeah, we're just looking forward to a long year ahead.
Yeah. I noticed that you put up a lovely message as well on social media about touring rules. You know, simple things. I think it was like, you know, wash your hands after you shake somebody's hand, all that. I mean, without sounding daft about it, do you stick to those pretty strict rules to make sure you stay in good shape now?
That was actually in a hockey team's locker room.
Really?
Yes.
I thought it was Kings of Leon tour bus. You know?
It had nothing to do with Kings of Leon. That was actually the team, to have the players keep from getting each other sick. But there were, out of those 10 rules, I would say we probably adhere to at least 7 of the 10. Like, always wash your jock strap. We know that one. That's a no-brainer.
Always wear flip-flops in the shower. I mean,
you got the Verukas. They're a nightmare for rock stars, aren't they? Keep your powder dry and your pants clean was a good one I heard. Good rules for life, there.
The powder. It's all about the powder.
All about the talcum powder.
Oh, my gosh. Things,
the Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart. Radio X.
Caleb and Nathan are still here. I really like your turn of phrase. I think you've got a beautiful command of the English language. And you were talking the other day, Nathan, about thundering up. Can you just explain what that is to me? Because I'd like to use that more often in my life, thundering up.
Thundering up. The NBA basketball team in Oklahoma City is the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Right.
And so every game you say, thunder up.
That's brilliant.
Because the thunder's rolling into town.
It's a good sort of mission statement for life, that, isn't it? It's thunder up.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be awesome if it caught on over here.
Yeah, maybe you could start it. That's what we'll do today.
Yeah. Thunder up.
I love the picture of you in front of Leon as well. Were you aware of Leon, the chain of sort of quite posh fast food?
No.
I think you need to get onto them and ask for at least a VIP card or four.
They've contacted me.
Good.
After that picture, so I think we're set with Leon.
What is it, good?
We'd never heard of it before.
I have to say, you know, for a middle-class gentleman, it's a respectable place to take a woman. Do we get a nod around here if I took you to Leon? Would you be disappointed? Horrified. Just where I'll be married 14 years. I'm in big trouble. But yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah. It was a very cool, like, we landed at 5:40 a.m.
Yeah.
We had two flights get canceled or swapped and ended up having like a lot of connections. So we landed, we're like, we're just going to make the most of this day. And then you arrive and the first thing you see is Leon and we're like, we still got it, boys.
It's a sign. It's
we
just for us.
We still got it.
Yeah, I remember you said to me years ago, Caleb, as well, I don't know if you remember this, but you said London is just fish, chips, beer and rock and roll. Is it still the same to you, London and Britain?
I mean, there's still a healthy amount of that, yeah. I think it's still definitely very rock and roll over here. Rock and roll still reigns supreme. And fish and chips, I mean, that's never going to go out of style. Beer? Yeah, I think I'm sticking with it.
No, I can't really describe you as veterans, yeah, but are you more sensible about picking your battles with your nights out? Or do you still just, like, see you later to the wife and kids, let's go absolutely mental?
Yeah, we just had, today was our third day off.
Yeah.
So like the last couple of nights we knew that we had some you know, little running room, so we had fun. But tonight we'll be good boys because we have some big shows ahead.
What do you do then when you've got that time to yourselves? Is it a nice sensible dinner or is it putting on a mask and going to a
no
club?
No, we usually it starts with a nice dinner and then we'll end up back at the hotel and slowly the adults will start leaving, and then we have fun and have like chugging competitions, and
that really means something very different in the UK. But, I should just point out.
Oh, is it like a?
A manual effort. Yeah. Drinking competitions would probably save you a little bit.
That's what I meant.
It's the tour bus rules.
Yeah.
Do whatever you like.
But you know your life has changed as a band when, after dinner, you can't wait to get back to the hotel bar.
Yeah.
But the old days, it would have been because you want to, you know, get slobber-knockered. Now it's because you can build your own sundae.
Yeah.
So any type of ice cream, any type of toppings, any...
Come on.
And you fill out a scorecard.
Yeah, yeah.
And so every night we see who can make the most, like, delectable sundae.
Fans are just dropping off right now.
Dropping like flies. Dropping like flies.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart. Radio X.
We were just chatting off air about riders. What is it about your rider that has changed over the years?
The level of wine that we drink now. And it's usually for after the show. I'll toss the cork every now and then before a show. But I would say that's probably the main thing, is just the level of delicious wine we get to enjoy after a night of hard work. But I would say 90% of the riders still the same as it was.
I knew I'd reached a sad age in life because I've got an app on my phone. You take a picture of the label of the wine bottle, and it tells you how much it is, how good it is, all the rest of it.
Mm-hmm. Delectable?
It's called Vivino.
Delectable.
Is that the one?
That's the one.
But you can really catch promoters out with that. They've got a really nice bottle of red wine. £1.99 from Costco or whatever it is you fly.
We had one that gave us, like, he was like, I bought you all a bottle from the year of your birth. So Caleb and Jared both have amazing wine years. Like, I'm so envious of their wine years. Mine... something like that, three pounds, something like that, silly. And he presented it like it was the Holy Grail, like he had to climb to the top of a mountain and steal it from an eagle's, like, talons and, like, bring it to me. And we looked it up. My manager was like, don't open it. Not worth it.
It's vinegar.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Gentlemen, I've got to say thank you very much for coming in. I realise that your time's really precious. It's great to see you going from strength to strength as well. And, you know, keep doing it, because we need bands like you in the world.
Cheers.
Keeping guitars alive and rock and roll music going strong. Thank you very much, boys.
Thank you very much. Cheers.
Good pleasure.
Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart. Radio X.
I'm Gordon Smart with your evening show, and now it's time for Slash Gordon. You might know Charlie Hunnam as Jax, the mean and moody Hell's Angel from Sons of Anarchy, or if you're a football fan, as the star of hooligan movie Green Street, or if, like me, you're 36 years old, you remember him from Bike a Grove. He was in 3 episodes, just for those that are pedants amongst you. Well, his Geordie accent might have softened a wee bit, but he was in great form when he came on the evening show last week to talk about his new movie, The Lost City of Zed. Now, regular listeners will know I'm putting this book together called Slash Gordon, based on the most famous people I've bumped into at the urinal. I ask all our famous guests about their stories from the bogs, and this is Charlie's. When have you been at a urinal next to somebody famous, and would you share that story with us?
There's not much of a story, other than I was at a Lakers game many, many years ago, and Jack Nicholson.
Oh.
And, you know, I definitely got the fear for a second. It took me a little bit longer to get the stream going than it normally does.
A bit of stage fright.
A little bit of stage fright, yeah.
Maybe he got the same with you. It's Jack from Sons of Anarchy.
That's right.
You can't really blame him. That'd be terrifying, being at the urinal next to Jack Nicholson, for a number of reasons. Johnny Vaughan as well, earlier on, he told me his was Jack Nicholson. They share that in common, Charlie Hunnam and Johnny Vaughan. I wonder if I asked Jack Nicholson if he would say the most famous person he's been at urinal beside is Johnny Vaughan. Never mind Charlie, though. What about you? Have you ever found yourself next to Philip Schofield at Knutsford Services on the M6 when you stop off for a Scotch egg? Just get in touch. I want to know yours. And listen, don't worry about how poor the name is. The poorer, the better. I remember one of the Radio X listeners got in touch recently and said she had been in a urinal when Jerry Halliwell ran past in a bit of a rush. I wonder why. Anyway, get in touch. Let me know who yours is. /Gordon 83936 or at Radio X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart. Radio X.
A gentleman called Steve Dexter from Sheffield said he was at the GMEX at the same time as Alex Turner, and they ended up in the toilets together. The rest of the story I can't share with you, I'm afraid, but I can tell you it's very, very good. Jack Hargreaves as well, that was working at the ITN buildings in Gray's Inn Road and had a wee next to Sir Trevor McDonald. Knighthood/Gordon. That is epic, superb stuff. And here's one from Stan. I like this. I once went for a wee at a rehearsal studio in Manchester and swore to myself as I hurt my finger and knew that playing bass for the rest of the practice would be annoying. The guy next to me asked if it was okay and showed some concern. I sort of mumbled something and then I realised it was Guy Garvey from Elbow. What a nice chap. Excellent stuff in Slash tonight. Thank you very much to the good people of Radio X. Much appreciated.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart. Radio X.
You'll have seen the posters absolutely everywhere. Logan is the latest blockbuster in the X-Men series. It stars Hugh Jackman, Sir Patrick Stewart, and I'm absolutely delighted to say that on the evening show we have our most decorated guest ever, Sir Patrick Stewart. How are you doing, Sir Patrick? A round of applause. Gordon, thank you. I'm really very well and very happy to be back in London.
It's just like being in the Old Vic, having such a big audience in that.
It is rather, isn't it? Yes, but I don't think they've paid anything.
I thought we should
take the hat around right now.
Well, I think between you and I, with your boxing pedigree and my Scottish roots, we could take a tenner off all of them, no problem.
With ease.
No problem at all. So, Patrick, on my way in today, I saw a poster and it said, "This is the best Wolverine movie yet." Is that how you feel about it?
Well, it's the most different Wolverine/X-Men movie. It is unlike anything else that we've done in this 17-year franchise. And anything else that's out there in the superhero genre. Our wonderful director, James Mangold, actually said in an interview I did with him the other day, he said, "Isn't it marvellous that our movie looks like a $110 million independent movie?" There's action. There's lots of fantastic action, and there is violence and all kinds of extreme situations with vehicles and trains and so forth. But there is a lot of time when people are just talking.
Yeah.
And usually that's not considered the thing that puts bums on seats in cinemas. But it's a movie of mood, of emotion a lot of the time, and a feeling. One of the three principal characters in the film is actually a child. There's Hugh Jackman and myself, but it is in part a road movie too, because the three of us are trying to get from the Mexican border to another border. You can imagine what border that would probably be. Yeah. And of course, it's very interesting given the situation in the world at the moment with refugees and crossing borders and so forth, that it's very, very pertinent. In this case, the United States is the dangerous country to be in, and we're trying to get into Canada.
It seems slightly unusual to hear you swear on screen. How did you feel with that?
Oh, no. I'm bad. You should hear my wife. What a mouth she has on her. Yes, isn't it fun to hear Charles Xavier with that language in his mouth? But it's not just that it's arbitrary swearing. He's losing his mind. He's crazy and unstable and out of control. And so the disintegration of his vocabulary is part of his illness.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart. Radio X.
Sir Patrick Stewart's in the studio tonight for the evening show. I think we should give him another round of applause, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, wow, thank you.
Sir Patrick, I keep getting sent amazing clips of Richard Harris telling stories of the most rock and roll debauchery and bad behaviour.
Oh, yes.
What's the most rock and roll night out you've had in your career?
My rock and roll period only lasted for a couple of years. It was when I joined the Bristol Vic Theatre Company and I met an Irish actor. His background was Ireland. His name is Gawn Granger and he is still working at the National Theatre and very, very successful, married to Zoe Wanamaker. I had no teenage years at all. I was never a teenager. I was made head boy of my school at 14. That's how grown up I was. Didn't have much fun. And then I met Gawn Granger, and it was cards, I mean, for money, horses, nightclubs, alcohol, and of course, girls.
Women, yes.
You were waiting for that.
I was waiting for it, yeah.
We lived and did a lot of work at the same time, a pretty wild existence in those 80 months, 2 years in Bristol. And then I went to the Royal Shakespeare Company, and Gawn went off to America with a couple of productions, and that was it. That was the end of the fun. I've had no fun since then.
Now, just one last thing on Logan. You've got an awful lot of interviews to do. I imagine you're on the procession line at the moment having to do all of this. Can you tell us one thing you haven't told anybody else about your time making this movie?
I have to age
considerably for this movie. My character is meant to be 90 or 90 plus years old and very frail and very crazy. There was a certain amount of makeup and, you know, aging process that went on, but I do remember at one morning very early on, my makeup artist looking at me and saying, no, you've already got that. We don't have to pretend about
Thanks
that.
Very much for
I
that.
Won't tell you what feature it was that would satisfy the 90-year-old.
Yeah, we'll have to finish up here, but Huddersfield Town, I believe you're a huge fan. Would you like to just finish with a little message for them and give us a little summary of how they're getting on in the world right now?
Guys, Joe, a friend of mine who's in the squad, and the great David Wagner, who joined us about 18 months ago from Germany. Congratulations. You are giving us, all of us fans, the most incredible season. And just please keep it up if you can. If you can't, it doesn't matter. You've given us a great ride through 2016-2017.
Superb stuff. I think for the third round of applause, I think we're going to have on this very short session.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart. Radio
X. The Evening Show. Classic album of the week.
X. So every Monday on The Evening Show, I like to indulge myself a little bit, and also producer Vin, and everyone who listens in, with a little bit of a journey through, an adventure through, a classic album from the past. Over the last 5 or 6 weeks, we've done Blur, Jamie T, Daft Punk and Ash, and this week we're going to go for a little bit of Oasis. We're going to bend the rules as well, because we're not going to go for a conventional album, we're going to go for a B-sides album. 1998, November the 3rd, The Master Plan came out. If you don't remember that, make sure you go and listen to it tonight, because it is a great collection of tracks. Casting my mind back to that sort of time, 97, 1998, I just passed my driving test, and I spent ages collating all those B-sides from all the amazing Oasis singles. And I remember turning up to parties, and I had the only copy of it, and I must have done some damage to their profits over that spell, because I shared it out amongst so many. It reached number 2 in the UK and went platinum. But the interesting thing about it was always just designed to go out in America and Japan, because B-sides were only available as super expensive European imports. But then it became massively popular. Cult fan favourites were given a new lease of life. Four tunes then reappeared in 2006 and Stop the Clocks. But some of the tracks on there are epic. Half the World Away, The Master Plan, Acquiesce, which has to be in most people's top 3 Oasis songs of all time. I know it's producer Vin's favourite. Talk Tonight, Head Shrinker, and loads more, including an amazing cover of I Am the Walrus, which was recorded live. Now, I'm right in the middle of listening to Johnny Marr's audiobook, and it's superb. And he tells the story of seeing Oasis for the very first time when his brother dragged him along. And he said that it was so loud when they played I Am the Walrus, he reckons it did permanent damage to his ears. But it was the catalyst for him to get a guy called Marcus Russell along, who is to this day Noel Gallagher's manager, and a guy who sort of guided them through a lot of their amazing success, and is a brilliant bloke. He was Johnny Marr's manager, and that was the introduction. But I tell you what, it's brilliant stuff. Producer Vin's here as well. I know, Vin, we do this every week, so we spend our weekends listening to the classic album and getting ourselves in the mood for this chat. And it's just reminded you of how much you love Acquiesce, isn't it?
Absolutely. Well, I think Acquiesce is definitely my favourite Oasis song. But the whole album, all of the Master Plan, it's just insane that these songs are... that these are throwaways, that they were B-sides. I mean, the Master Plan is absolutely stunning.
Rock
how
song.
Can that not be a single? It's amazing. Noel's talent for songwriting, it's incredible.
And that's the thing, is it's such a creative point of his life. And again, that links back to Johnny Marr, because Johnny Marr gave him so much advice about how to run his career. He gave him his manager and Marcus Russell, and he said, while you're at this point in your life, get everything written, keep writing songs, get 4 or 5 out when you can, and put them all on a single. And he certainly did that, because if you go back, I mean, the Master Plan is an amazing track, and not to use that as a single at the time just shows the quality of the material he was producing. And then as well, at the other end of the spectrum from that, Half the World Away, very simple, beautiful little ballad with smudged organs, Vin has said. Which is, what is a smudged organ?
Well, I don't know, that's the word that sprang to mind. It's sort of that, it's very soft, and there's a lot of melody in those sort of those sustained chords, aren't there?
But syncopated chords. But the interesting thing as well is it sat on Whatever, didn't it? It was a B-side and Whatever. And Whatever wasn't included on an album, which is just amazing.
It would have just disappeared, you know?
Yeah, it just disappeared, unless it had been played on the Master Plan. So we're indulging ourselves enough here. Make sure you go and listen to the whole album. We've picked 2 of our favourite tracks, and this one is absolutely epic. This is Acquiesce from the Master Plan by Oasis from 1998 on Radio X.
The Evening Show. Classic album of the week.
X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Radio X.
That was incredible. Back-to-back, Oasis, The Master Plan, and before that, Acquiesce. This is all part of Classic Album, something I do every Monday on The Evening Show, and I thoroughly enjoyed hearing them back-to-back. The Master Plan, now nearly 20 years old, 3rd of November 1998. What a great album it was. And The Master Plan there, just think about that, right? A B-side to Wonderwall, just chucked away as a lovely little B-side and one of the greatest singles you could ever buy. Noel thinks it's one of the best he's ever written. There's no Liam in the track, and there's a lovely little touch on it where Noel sings the Beatles' Octopus's Garden at the very end. Vin, do you like that as well?
I like that, but Acquiesce, which we played before, that's my favourite. It's excellent. I mean, because I didn't realise, I always thought it was about the two brothers. I think everyone does, right?
Yeah, you would do, wouldn't you? But we need each other, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But on the sleeve notes in the actual album, apparently it's just about friendship in general.
Yeah, they would never admit it.
Exactly what it was. It's a cover-up, isn't it?
Yeah, it was the first tune to feature both Liam and Noel on lead vocals, and it was written by Noel on a delayed train when he was on his way to record
Death
Eater, maybe. There you go, yeah.
Wow.
So that was absolutely brilliant. Classic albums on Radio X on The Evening Show. Why not suggest one that we can get into next Monday? So far we've had Ash, Blur, Oasis. Maybe you could suggest one for next week. Just get in touch on Twitter and let us know.
The Evening Show. Classic album of the week. X.
I'm Gordon Smart here with The Evening Show. I'm delighted to say that Russell Howard has walked into the studio.
Look at that.
See that? He's about to play 10 nights back to back at the Albert Hall. Three people clapping him in the studio.
Yeah. Hopefully it won't be three at the Albert Hall. It's going to be a tough night.
Russell, do you want to get into the business straight away? Because you've got something incredible to promote. You've got a huge tour.
If you like, I'm doing 10 nights at the Albert Hall. Come along, and loads of other gigs. The one that I want everyone to come to, I've got a gig in Aberdeen, which is my birthday, 23rd of March.
Huh?
And I need people there, or it's going to be a bad night.
Working on your birthday when you're a comedian.
Yeah, well, this is it. And I thought, come along. But I need that to sell out. Bring cakes, bring love, bring wine.
It's Aberdeen, Russell.
It's great. Whereabouts in Scotland are you from?
I'm from Edinburgh, but Aberdeen, is it a midweek night? Is it a Tuesday night? I suppose it'll be warmer by then.
Well, this is it. I'm desperately saying, because it's my birthday, come along. But it'd be good, man.
Do you see when you're putting your dates together with the promoter, do you have any influence on that at all? So can you say, we need to keep a bit of time here, because I need to be in Scotland around then? Or
no, none. Right. We're touring Australia in their winter. It's ridiculous. You sort of look at it and you're like, how does this happen?
It's a mad series of dates, though, when you look at the list, because you're doing China for the first time.
Yes. The Chinese government actually needed to check what I was going to say.
Oof. So are you worried about your digital tattoo? Because you've done so much on telly, right?
Yeah.
There's bound to be something you've said there about China that might be a bit wobbly.
I wasn't worried about that until you mentioned that. That's a very good point. The same with America now. It'd be fascinating. Yeah. It's going to be amazing touring the States, given the change. I know.
Yeah, what a great time to be a comedian, though, because there must be plenty of material in it for you.
And it's also a great time to just travel, and you learn so much when you're in a place.
Yeah.
So if you're having a chat with some guy in a bar in Chicago, you can learn more about the state of politics.
Yeah.
Than you can read in 1,000 copies of The Guardian.
So how much do you riff off that then?
In the States, loads. So in the smaller clubs, I can kind of muck around. Yeah. In if you're doing the Manchester Arena, there's 17,000 people. It's got to be a big, powerful monologue.
Sure.
But in those gigs in the States, it's great.
You can react to it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how much, because I went to see Jack Whitehall the other night, right, at Wembley, which is an amazing show, right?
Yeah.
And it seemed so spontaneous at the time. Then afterwards, he's like, "Yeah, I do that about every night." And I was like, "No, you don't." How much of it is? And I don't want too much light to be shed on the magic, right?
But
how much have you got prepared when you go on stage?
Oh, you've got everything prepared.
Yeah.
So everything, particularly when you're doing them biggies, that there would be no point mucking around. But if something happens, you can always change it.
Yeah.
So there'll always be something new at the beginning if you're in a different place. But you have to have, particularly in them big rooms, you have to have a show to fall back on. Like, you can't be, hello, you all right? What'd you do?
Yeah.
Hey, get on with the show, mate.
And how much preparation do you, because in Leicester Square, right, Leicester Square Theatre, you get Mickey Flanagan doing 10 warm-up shows. Have you got any of those sneaky ones that we can come and catch at?
Mate, I've been doing them for ages.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, me and Jack did, I've had a weekly gig in Chiswick and a weekly gig in Camden for 6 months working up, and Jack came and did some.
Yeah. It's only £6 as well, you don't have to pay the full price.
This is it, man, so there's people in Chiswick and Camden and the backyard in Bethnal Green who've seen everything for a fiver.
So what was
it? Livid.
So when somebody pulls a phone out and starts filming in Chiswick, then do you think, come on, you know, that's about, you know, you're going to spoil the fun for everyone.
Yeah, no, I don't really get that. And luckily it doesn't really happen because you're like, just be here now.
Yeah.
But it's, I think oddly it happens more at big gigs.
Yeah.
You think, just get into it. But it's this, it's just a youth thing, isn't it?
I know. I went to a Rolling Stones gig and somebody was filming in front of me with an iPad.
I know, just, you're not here.
I wanted to smash it.
But you never have that memory.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? That's the thing. I've never done it at a gig. I've never got it.
Yeah.
Because I'm too busy being in the moment.
Have you seen that Supersonic documentary, the Oasis one?
Amazing.
And Noel said that that's the last moment Neb was before mobile phones at gigs.
It's incredible, isn't it? It's an amazing documentary, that, because it makes you, obviously it's going to, we're the same age.
Yeah.
But you kind of think, God, life was so much easier when we were kids.
It was, wasn't it?
That, because we didn't have Snapchat or Twitter or Facebook. All we had to do was develop a personality.
Yeah.
And kids now have to develop a brand.
Yeah.
Like, so you sort of, no wonder they're frazzled. You think about, like, the years I spent sat on walls thinking. Like, do you know what I mean? That was cool. All you did in the 90s. Like, I didn't even have a Walkman.
Yeah.
Like, a Walkman was a flash thing. And you just sort of sat there becoming yourself.
I suppose that should be the last question. How much trouble would you have been in, Russell Howard, if you had a mobile phone when you were a teenager?
Oh, definitely gone blind.
He loves his music. This is something that would appreciate your age as well. Yeah, this is The Strokes, Reptilia. Definitely one from our generation.
Oh, wonderful.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Radio X.
Russell, you're playing 10 nights at the Royal Albert Hall.
I am, which
is a record. You're beating Frank Sinatra.
I know.
Who's the other name I saw on the list? Who was it? It was an incredible name. Barry Manilow.
Barry. That's taking Bazza.
How does that feel to beat those two music legends?
Well, my mum's in a very difficult situation. She's a huge Barry Manilow fan, but she also likes me. So where does her loyalties lie?
Loyalties?
Loyalties.
I've seen you before at the Albert Hall.
Have you?
2008 Secret Policeman's Ball, I think it might have been.
That was the same show, where... Eddie was... That's where I met Eddie Izzard in the toilets.
Yeah. Oh, right, really? Yeah.
That was so nerve-wracking.
I bet it was.
And because it was right at the beginning of sort of doing on TV, and it was just, crazy. To do it now, it's a really nice room.
Yeah.
Like, I know it sounds odd, but, like, the O2 is... The sound in there isn't great, whereas the sound in the Albert Hall is amazing. So you can make it feel oddly intimate, even though it's massive.
So will you do it in the round? Do you stand right in the middle of the Royal Albert Hall?
Well, I've never done it in the round, so I'm going to have to figure it out. But apparently, you just got to keep moving. The trick, apparently, I was talking to a mate of mine who does it in America, and he's a football fan. He's like, you've got to imagine that you're Cantona, and it just, you know, when he scored that chip, you just kind of got to slowly turn around to the crowd.
I like
it's quite a good idea.
Call her up as well.
Just don't
kung fu kick anybody in the front row.
Imagine that, I get the wrong Cantona, start battering someone.
Just
talking
on,
about seagulls.
On the gig nerves, though, you know, how do you feel about these things now? Because you've got so many gigs under your belt.
Yeah.
But that is something different. Was it 5,000 the capacity at the Albert Hall?
Yeah.
Something like that?
Yeah.
Do you have a little bit of butterflies about that? Or is it maybe the more intimate gigs that are more nerve-wracking?
Yeah. I don't know. Like, a bit of both, really. You just want it to go so well.
Yeah.
Because you've spent so long working the show up. So when you get there, you kind of don't want it to be FA Cup final syndrome.
Yeah.
So you just... Because the first time I did Wembley, all I can remember, I went for Chinese with my friend Dan at the end. That's all I can remember. Yeah. And he over-ordered, because he always does. But like, I can't remember the moment. Like, and it's a bit like that. These big... Because you're concentrating that joke, next joke, that joke, next joke. Mm-hmm. Like, the older you get, you're just trying to just enjoy yourself and kind of... be in the moment and kind of appreciate how exciting this is, because you'll be an old man soon and your grandchildren will never believe.
We're 36, we feel like it's over.
Mate, isn't it weird? We were talking about this just beforehand. I went back to Bristol, I did a week of gigs there, and it's the first time that I've been in pubs where I've looked around and gone, I'm the oldest, innit? Do you know what I mean? I'm the only one here wearing comfortable knitwear.
Yeah, I'll ask if you can get away with high tops in just a second. Russell, are you going to stick around for a little bit longer?
Yeah, I will, yeah.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart. Radio
X. Hello. Dollop of nostalgia on Radio X tonight. Russell Howard's still in the studio. Russell.
I enjoyed that.
This is a show that's designed for our teenage years, really, isn't it?
Right, yeah.
Oh man,
let's have a top deck.
What was top deck? Oh dear me, what was the half alcoholic drink? Was that top deck?
No, two dogs.
Two dogs.
Remember that?
Pooch as well, of course.
Pooch.
Should have got some of that in.
Yeah.
It's been a long day. Instead, we're 36-year-old men having a cup of tea.
Yes. Remember those black jeans with red pockets?
I do. Yeah.
Green jeans.
What kind of school shoes did you have?
I had kickers.
Kickers, of course we did, didn't we?
Knew what I was doing.
We knew what we were doing. They were cool enough, weren't they?
Yeah. And as a younger man, I had Buster scuffs. Do you remember those?
No, I don't.
They said you couldn't scuff them. You could.
Yeah, you're from Bristol. That's a lot cooler than when I grew up.
Edinburgh.
Well, Kinross, which is a provincial horrible little town.
Okay.
I say that. I'm going to be very welcome. I still live there. What am I doing? Russell, you lived with John Robbins. Radio X is John Robbins.
Radio X is John Robbins.
It wasn't just John Robbins, it was John Richardson as well, is that right?
And Mark Olver. Everyone forgets him.
Let's not forget Mark Olver.
Yeah. Let's not forget Ringo.
What was that house like to live in? And what role did you play in it?
That's an interesting... I'd say I played the role of only person earning money chief disturber of John Richardson.
Right, so you're getting
and
the dominoes
in. I watched John Robbins... drunk a lot. It's a really glorious... I mean, basically, you're watching, at that time, an unemployed man he used to call him his skits. So genuinely, he'd rearrange the sofa and he'd go, who would like a drink at the bar? And he pretended to run a fake bar in the front of our room.
Oh,
and
no.
If we'd have had mobile phones to record him then, I mean, his career wouldn't have taken off.
So when was this, Russell? When was this?
2006.
Right, and how long did you live together?
We lived together for a year.
Right. And was there a reason it was a year? Because that was the term of the rent.
Yeah, John Richardson had enough and went to live in Swindon. on his own.
It's got an extreme move to Swindon.
Yeah. And I went to live in Bath on my own. And I think we just left Robbins. It's a bit like, you know, when you sort of move out and you just leave a cat. It's sort of a bit like that. He'll be all right. He knows his way. He's got a few mice in there. And look what he's become now.
Oh, he's great on Radio X.
Phenomenal comedian and amazing broadcaster.
I'm a massive fan of him on Radio X. Yeah. And John Roberts, Ellison John, Saturdays 1 till 4.
Yes.
You've been on a couple of times, haven't you?
I've been on the once because we needed to come on to plug a charity gig that we were doing together.
Yeah.
And he demanded that I come on.
I see. So, John, after all the things you've just said about him, the stray cat left behind in the house, he's very kindly provided some questions to ask you tonight on the evening show.
Oh, really? Okay.
And this says a lot about your relationship.
Okay.
And I should probably preempt these questions by saying that you're a decent footballer.
Yes.
I think I played against you a couple of times, actually.
I'm all right, yeah.
You know, you played for Basingstoke, is that right?
I did, as a younger man,
Was that semi-pro? Have you been paid to play football?
I have, but like £15.
Right.
And, I was
still paid?
I was a speedy inside forward.
Like
I've also scored a Rabona kick at Anfield.
Oh.
But yeah, that's the
quite a boast.
Yeah, in front of the cop.
Who was in goals, though? That's...
It was a mascot dressed as a dragon.
Right.
But so, I never tell anyone. No one's ever asked me that.
There's a football man asking the right questions.
Yeah, exactly.
So let me ask you some of John Robbins' questions.
Okay.
Right? So he said, right, question number one. You've been described as the Pirlo of comedy and the Billy Connolly of five-a-side.
Ah.
How do you cope with the pressure on the pitch?
What I like to do is I just get the ball, I give it easy, I like to dictate play, I give others a chance, and I make sure that whenever it's been recorded, I'm brilliant. That's all you've got to do, John. Just give me the ball, enjoy yourself.
Yeah. You got to. I'm trying to find the polite way of saying the Scottish phrase, you can only pee with the genitals you've got.
Yes, I know that well-known phrase.
Here's another one for you. Is it true you have a subscription to Flex magazine and take a, take a curling bench on tour?
Well, very good. That's very good. So that's what happens if your mate comes around. So I've been getting a copy of Flex magazine for the past 4 years because my friend Sam signed me up to it and it's on the front of it. It says Russell the Muscle Howard. And I know for a fact he's changed it because it now says the Right Honourable Russell Howard. And Sam has a child on the way, cannot afford the subscription, but is not willing to let the joke go. I can't cancel it. I've never opened one Flex, but I had my house done up and I sort of moved out for 6 months. Some builders were in. That was the only thing left on the desk.
No.
6 copies of Flex. Like some like men that look like they're like made out of Toblerone bars, like proper ripped. And this bloke went, your magazines are on your desk. And it looked dodgy.
Looked a bit dodgy. After comedy, do you see a career in coaching as inevitable?
I'd love to do that, John. I'd love to coach.
Life coaching, are we talking?
Oh, life coaching.
I don't know. Maybe he hasn't given us a specific on that.
Well, me and Robbins could do a sort of like, you mean like Tom Cruise? What was the film?
Rain Man?
Very good. Yeah. I can't remember.
Okay. Yeah. He's got another one here. Is it true you once called Philippe Coutinho Coots to his face?
Yes, I did.
How did he respond?
I was slightly baffled. We were playing five aside on Anfield, and he did. There was a 1-2-1.
Yeah.
And I was like, Coots. Like, do you know what I mean? Give it easy. And he didn't.
What did he call you?
He didn't pass the ball. He just looked away. I think he thought that I was, you know, I was sort of there. Basically, we were playing football with kids. And he thought I was obviously like a really big kid who wasn't to be messed with. But then he thought, I'm about to give it in and he'll probably try and bite me.
I should have pointed out, for non-football fans, Philippe Coutinho is the mercurial Liverpool creative genius, isn't he?
I've got one of his boots.
Oh, really?
I want it in.
Does he know you've got it?
Yeah, exactly. I broke in, watched him sleep. But no, I won it in an auction at Liverpool at the end of season two. And I went up to collect it. And I was like, can I have my boot? And they were like, sorry, mate, someone's had it away. Somebody had literally nicked
other boot. Another bit. And last one, what's the most you've ever benched?
John knows that. It's 60. And the reason he knows that is because he was also at the gym when we did it together.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart. Radio X.
So, see, when you're going off around the world, do you? What's the heckle like abroad? Have you sampled that before?
It doesn't really exist in America. There's a lot more whooping.
Yeah.
Like, people whoop and they stand up at the beginning. And kind of, like, you get a standing ovation before you start, and then you get a standing ovation at the end. Whereas it doesn't really happen over there.
It doesn't work like that.
You might get one at the end, but you certainly won't get it at the beginning.
We're just talking about Kevin Bridges there, and he told us a great heckle he got. Somebody called him a porridge goblin. It's a great insult. What's the best what's the worst heckle that you've suffered?
The worst I ever had, I was doing a gig when I was 18 in Eastleigh, and this guy tried to punch me in the face, and he accused me of shagging his wife.
Oof.
I was 18, I wasn't shagging anyone, and I tried to point that out, and I was really terrified, and he chased me around. Another time, I did a gig in Romford at a Christmas party, and a lady threw a sex toy at me.
Oh, I quite like the generic term of sex toy, because that just let our imaginations run wild with that.
Yes.
Was it enough to knock you out?
It was enough to leave me with a bruise. and a bruise that's hard to explain.
Well, hopefully at the Albert Hall, when you play your record 10 dates,
yes,
people will be searched properly, frisked properly before they go
imagine
in.
Imagine that, yeah. They're just rocking up, yeah.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart. Radio X.
It was Brits Night last night, my 13th on the spin, and I tell you what, I did manage to shorten my life a little bit by putting in an epic shift. I fired along after the evening show finished last night at 10 o'clock and made the most of the after parties while I could, playing a little bit of catch-up. So got out of the studio, went along to the Universal Party. It was some decadent affair, I tell you, a big cavernous venue full of expensive cocktails and all the rest of it. And the first sight I saw really killed my view of rock and roll. Blossoms drinking champagne. I was disappointed in them. It's not very Stockport, that, is it? Very, very music industry. They were knocking about with Jake Bugg, caught up with him as well. He's wearing a very expensive leather jacket. Not what he had on the first time I met him. I think it was a really dodgy Adidas trackie, but it just goes to show he's selling some records, looking very well. And the last thing I remember with him was arranging a game of football at Stockport County. So I don't know if that'll ever happen, but I'd quite like to do that, but not in the state I'm in right now. Joe Donovan, the drummer, he was in great form. We were knocking around speaking to Ellie Goulden, who was absolutely bongoed, I think it's safe to say. That's the technical term for it. Katy Perry was there as well. Got a stare from her because I used to knock around with her ex-husband. Remember that Russell Brand bloke? Yeah, a bit frosty. I left, though, when Jedward showed up. I think it's always a good reason to leave a party. What a pair of buffoons they are. 90% quiff, 10% air. But yeah, headed along to the Warners party after that, which is where it was really happening. Noel Gallagher was there with his Mrs. Sarah. Gorgeous, pouting, fragrant, mini-skirted Sarah McDonald. And even though our night finished at 7 o'clock in the morning, they were having a drink again at 11:30 this morning. I really admired that. What an effort that is. And it really did go pretty horribly wrong when I bumped into Peter Crouch and Abby Clancy. Now, they know their music. They love the music. They were there with Abby's brother, John, who's in a band called Judas. And Crouch, he knows how to have a drink, I tell you what. And the tequila was entered into the evening. And the pictures ended up on Daily Mail in the sidebar of shame. Go and check it out. But the night finished at 7 o'clock in the morning at the Chiltern Firehouse with a young Jay Sharrock. You might know his dad, Chris Sharrock. He was the drummer in Oasis, drums with Noel now and again, and used to be in the Lads. What a lovely lad Jay is. The youth policy coming through. And Jeff Wooten as well, look out for him. The youth policy coming through. He's going to be playing guitar with Gorillaz when they go on tour. So it was a special night. I've shortened my life. Feel rough. I need your love and cuddles tonight. Send the messages 83936 at Radio X. Support Gordon Smart. It's like some kind of charity campaign, that, isn't it? So yeah, feel sorry for the injured Scotsman. Anyway, it was a great night. I'm going to dedicate this song to Peter Crouch and his lovely wife, Abby Clancy, for getting me in such a pickle. Coldplay dropped this song for the first time last night at the Brits. See what you think. This is Coldplay. Something just like this.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart. Radio X.
That was the Evening Show podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. If you really did enjoy it, leave a little review and tell all your friends. I'm on the Evening Show every day during the week between 7 and 10. Come and join us.
Radio X.
Get into the music.